the ads on the radio. Identity thieves can take your house unless you buy title fraud insurance. Hi, I'm Rob West. You've also heard that home title fraud is a growing type of identity theft. But is the answer really another insurance policy? Or can you protect yourself? I'll talk about it today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. So here's how it's supposed to work. A lender notifies you that they're about to foreclose on your home. That's news to you because you haven't taken out a new mortgage or other loans on the property. The type of fraud that kicks off that scenario can take several forms, but all of them start with identity theft. There's even a very sophisticated version involving wire fraud that has the FBI's attention, but it's pretty rare. Today I'm talking about a much simpler and more common variety that we'll just call title fraud, and it works like this. The thief walks into your county deeds office and fakes your signature on what becomes a fraudulent deed transfer in your name, giving the property to someone else. The thief then takes out a home equity loan or refinances with cash out and skips town. After a few months of non-payment, the lender then begins foreclosure proceedings. All of this is happening without the real homeowner knowing anything about it until it's too late. Now, many companies today are advertising that they can protect you from this type of fraud. But what exactly are you buying with title fraud insurance that may cost $15 a month or more? First, you need to understand that this isn't what's typically known as title insurance, which, by the way, you should always get when you purchase a property. As it turns out, title fraud insurance really isn't insurance at all, and it doesn't lock your title as some of the names imply. Real title insurance protects you against any claim involving the validity of your ownership of the property, and it's a one-time purchase, usually several hundred dollars. Title fraud insurance is a completely different product, and it won't protect you in the very unlikely event that a scammer forges your signature and transfers your title. Title fraud insurance products will usually just monitor whether your deed has been transferred out of your name at the county records office. That might be helpful if you're able to react in time and challenge the deed transfer at the county records office before the scammer takes out a new loan. But that's a big if. And there's no way to actually lock a title in any state. There's nothing to stop a scammer from forging your signature and transferring a deed out of your name. But you can monitor yourself whether a fraudulent transfer has occurred. Most counties allow you to view the status of your deed online, and some counties even allow you to sign up for automated alerts involving deed changes. So by now you're asking, if I don't monitor the status of my deed all the time, how do I protect myself from home title fraud? Well, in theory, you don't really need protection against it because no matter how the scam plays out, it's still fraud. If someone forges your signature, transfers your deed, and then takes out a loan on the property, you're not responsible. The con artist didn't legally own your property, so the lender doesn't have a legal claim to it. If they tried to foreclose on you, it would be wrongful foreclosure and wouldn't hold up in court. There's another reason that the bank or mortgage company wouldn't come after you. They would, as a matter of course, require the scammer to pay for lender's title insurance at closing, protecting them against any loss. There would be no reason for them to come after you, even though, as I said, they'd have no case against you. But you can take further precautions. Get out your title insurance documents from when you purchased the property. Look to see what it covers and doesn't. It'll always protect you from legal claims against your ownership and possibly, but not necessarily, against fraud. If it doesn't, you can purchase a title insurance policy that protects against fraud, even if you bought the property years ago. And of course, that means if you didn't buy title insurance when you first bought the property, you can still get it. It will not only protect you from a loss, but will also cover any legal fees involved with defending your ownership. In most cases, the title company will actually provide an attorney to represent you. So the bottom line is, title insurance, always a good idea. Title fraud insurance, probably not worth the money. As Matthew 10:16 teaches, be innocent as doves, but wise as serpents. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and you're listening to Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Much more straight ahead.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. I don't know about you, but during the winter, things usually slow down. Of course, there are big holidays during that time, but I tend not to travel and my schedule is less busy. When spring comes around, however, the travel itinerary fills up and I'm back to being on the run until November. In the midst of our busy lives, Paul gives a word to consider. He was a busy man himself. He was an apostle, a tent maker. Listen to what he wrote in Colossians 1:9. We have not stopped praying for you. Though he was certainly busy, he didn't stop caring for, praying for those he loved. Don't let your busy schedule stop you from praying for those who need it today. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
I love AFR. You say it's on the radio too?
Here at American Family Radio, we know that many people find their audio entertainment in other places than the radio. So our programming is available with the AFR app on Apple and Android devices, through Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
I just love the podcasts.
That too. American Family Radio, streaming or podcast, now available wherever you are. And we're on the radio.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today. We'd love to hear from you. The number, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Hey, before we jump into the phone lines today, let me mention here on the last weekday of the month, as we head into a new week next week, we'll be into May. I know, hard to believe. But as we round out the month of April, I'd like to invite you to be a supporter of this ministry here at FaithFi. We do what we do because of your listener support. We are a not-for-profit ministry, and your tax-deductible gift right now will help us stay on track this month with our own ministry budget so we can continue to serve God's people and help them be wise and faithful stewards. So if you'd like to be a part of supporting this ministry with whatever capacity you have, we'd certainly appreciate it. You just head to faithfi.com, click the Give button. That's faithfi.com and click Give. This day right here on Friday would be a great opportunity for you to do that as we round out the month. And we have a new thank you for you as you make a gift of any size. We'd love to send you the brand new leather FaithFi phone wallet. It actually attaches to your to the back of your phone. It would be a great reminder to integrate your faith and finances, but it's practical. It will actually help you hold your credit cards, maybe a hotel key, some cash.
cash, a few small items in there, and it's, again, our way of saying thanks. With any gift at faithfi.com, just click give. By the way, on the site is three ways to give: over the phone, through the mail, or through our online form. Thanks in advance. All right, let's take your phone calls today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Let's dive in. We're going to begin in Kentucky. Hi, Martha. Go right ahead.
Hi. Yes, I wanted to know, our house is paid off. We're older. And do we still need title insurance? Can someone still take our home from us?
Yeah, so what we opened with today was this idea of title fraud insurance, or at least that's what it's called, and it's a protection against somebody fraudulently, claiming or transferring the deed to your home, again, fraudulently, into their name, and then perhaps taking out a mortgage against it. That's fraud, and there's really no way to protect yourself against that, but they wouldn't have a legal claim to your property either if they forged your name in the county records office. But owner's title insurance is something that makes sense. It's optional. It's not something you need, but I think it's a good idea. Basically, this is designed to protect you from title issues that could come up along the way. Usually it happens at the purchase, and it's typically incurred by the seller. It's optional, but it's a very common type of insurance, different from a lender's policy, which you would have, and that only protects the lenders against perhaps claims to your title that were not uncovered at purchase. That does nothing for you. The owner's title insurance is something that does protect you. It's a one-time fee, probably several hundred dollars. You can purchase it at any time. And basically, this would protect you against unforeseen defects in your title. This could be anything from a lien to an easement, an outstanding debt from a previous owner, conflicting wills, maybe undisclosed or unknown heirs to the property before you purchased it. Obviously, if you've owned this for a long, long time, probably a very low percentage chance that there would be an issue here. But just given the relatively inexpensive cost of this, I think it's something I would encourage you to have, Martha. Is that helpful, though?
It is, but how do I find out if we got title insurance when we purchased this home, and where would we go to get it? I don't understand this.
Yeah, no problem.
Do I just go to the county?
I would go back to the title company that closed the mortgage. Closed the sale. How long ago did you purchase it?
15 years ago.
Okay. All right. So I would just pull out those documents from the closing and find out who that title agent was that handled the closing to settle the transaction. You probably went to a title, or an attorney, but you probably went to a title company office. Both the buyer and the seller were there. You were the buyer, they were the seller, and you signed all the documents, and they handled through escrow the actual exchange of the funds to make the purchase. You may find that there was a title insurance bought at that point. If not, they could help you buy a policy.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
You are welcome, Martha. Thank you for being on the program today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today. Let's see. Let's head to Tennessee. James, you'll be next on the program. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, a little while ago I heard that the Federal Reserve was offering some kind of a instantaneous money transfer, a new feature. I was under the impression that they were going to be implementing it almost immediately. I was just wondering if you knew anything about it or could tell me what the status is or what it's called or...
Yeah, you're exactly right. You have heard correctly. The Federal Reserve announced what they call FedNow. It will start operating in July, and basically it's going to enable instant transactions 24/7. This is the first time the Federal Reserve has been involved in facilitating this transaction, these types of transactions. It's basically an instant payment service, but it's using the Federal Reserve to facilitate those transfers instead of a bank. It's different different, completely different than you know, what has been is being discussed lately, and that's you know, the CBDC, a central bank digital currency, which would be a digital dollar that the central bank would issue. And there's a lot of privacy concerns and a whole host of issues with the United States having a central bank digital currency, but we're still a good ways off from that, and it would require Congress to approve it. And there's going to be a lot of debate and discussion over that because of how much insight and control and data collection would be available on the part of the Federal Reserve with regard to every transaction that we have that's using the digital dollar, the CBDC. That is entirely different, though, than what we're talking about here, which is essentially a payment service that the Federal Reserve is doing. Right now, electronic transfers don't happen on weekends, which has a negative impact on commerce. One of the benefits of the FedNow program is that these transactions will be available 24/7, 7 days a week. So that's one of the benefits that that this program will offer. And to your question, it begins in July.
Okay. Does that work? Like, you can use it for, say, bank-to-bank or credit-union-to-credit-union type transfers?
You know, I don't know all the details on it yet. I mean, basically, it's a brand new infrastructure that essentially allows financial institutions of every size across the U.S. to provide, you know, safe and efficient payment services. So really, any kind of electronic transfer will be possible. So essentially, what would happen is businesses and individuals would be able to send and receive instant payments in real time, around the clock, every day of the year. That is not currently available with our current banking infrastructure in terms of electronic transfers. So it does innovate and bring the ability to make more time-sensitive payments through the FedNow program, which is different than anything that's accessible today. And that's one of the primary features of this. So there's a variety of use cases for it, but with growing demand on instant payments, that's where FedNow comes in. And again, it all kicks off in July. So appreciate you asking about it. We'll be back with much more on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
Friendships is offering an exciting opportunity for young adults who want to grow in their walk with God, become physically fit, and learn relief ministry while serving in the Middle East. This is an amazing opportunity to serve God and experience Israel. Check out Seahawk's one-year scholarship program at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. That's 337-433-5022. The next session begins August 19th.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org.
C-H-Ministries.org.
Sandy Rios, AFA's Director of Governmental Affairs and the host of the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7.
For 40-plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, each morning we gather together on this program to talk about what it means as believers to be entrusted with wealth. That's right. The aim of God's Word is to focus our minds and our hearts on not the things of this world, but the eternal. And when we pursue the Lord and we surrender our whole lives to Him, including His finances that He's entrusted to us, it shapes our thinking. And here's the reality. Our beliefs inform our behavior. So we have to start with a biblical worldview of money management that says we've been entrusted with riches, no matter how much we have, and that's up to the Lord on what He entrusts to us. Our goal is faithfulness to the opportunity He's given us. That opportunity is to be able to be a money manager of the King of Kings. Well, what does it look like to be faithful? Well, we have to understand the heart of the master to do that. So we go back to God's Word. We pull out the big ideas, the themes, the principles we see in Scripture, and we apply them to our everyday financial decisions. And when we do that, here's my experience, that this financial journey we're on is one of the key ways God shapes our spiritual journey as we learn to trust Him every day with our financial decisions. Well, we want to help you do that on this program with encouragement. We'll always be hopeful and just help to bring some guidance to you as you make decisions every day. So what are the questions you're thinking about today? I'd love to hear from you, and we have some lines open. The number to call today is 800-525-7000. Here on a Friday, we'd love to tackle whatever you're thinking about financially. 800-525-7000. We can talk about your debt repayment. We can talk about whether or not it makes sense to consolidate the debt or to pay it off through debt management. By the way, I'll give you a little secret. I'm not a fan of debt consolidation. What about your credit score? Maybe it's your long-term investments in the midst of this volatility. How do you give wisely? And how do you stay on budget? What does it look like if you and your spouse don't agree? Any of that and more is fair game today. Again, 800-525-7000. Before we head back to the phones, let's tackle an email. These come to us every day at askrob@faithfi.com. That's askrob@faithfi.com. This one comes from Dawn. She says, "Hey, Rob, I want to move my checking and savings to a Christian credit union. Some are NCUA insured, like my current credit union, and some use American Share Insurance. What's the difference? Is one better than the other? Thanks for your insights." Federally chartered credit unions, Dawn, are insured by the NCUA, the National Credit Union Administration. State chartered credit unions are privately insured. Currently, there's only one company providing insurance for credit union accounts, and that's the one you pointed out, American Share Insurance. They've been in business for 50 plus years. No credit union member has ever lost a dime in an ACI insured account. They both insure credit union accounts up to $250,000. It's hard to say which is better. They're both batting 1,000, but I would say that the NCUA is backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. Now, it's a great question you asked, though. Beyond the protection, this idea of aligning your values with a banking partner, I think, is something more and more people are interested in. They want to know they're doing business with a company that aligns with their Christian values. And as an added bonus, perhaps they're even sharing part of their corporate profits with ministries that are doing incredible work in the name of Jesus. Well, one of those is our partner that we're so excited about, and that is Christian Community Credit Union. I would really encourage you, if you're looking for a banking partner that aligns with your values, to check them out. Again, Christian Community Credit Union, and you'll learn more at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. All right, let's head to the phones. We're going to begin this segment with Scott in Indiana. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Hey, I got some extra money in the stock market. It's not in a 401k or an IRA or anything. Total's about $70,000. Would I be better off to pull it out and get into some rental real estate, which I have some of those already, or just keep it in the stock market with the way things are today?
Yeah, tell me just kind of with a broad brush how this money is invested, Scott.
Most of it is just, well, I used to listen to Dan Citi all the time, so it's invested in the things that he had on a profile for 55 and under. So basically different variations of stocks in my profile portfolio.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. I would just say, kind of given where we're at, I mean, is this money you plan to touch in the next 10 years?
No.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, given your time horizon and, you know, although I didn't know him personally, great respect for the work that Dan Celia did. I think you're probably positioned pretty well, and I would hate for you, to lock in those losses, by getting out of the market right now. I mean, it's kind of like when things are on sale, that's the time to be a buyer, not a seller. And right now stocks are on sale. Now, could they go lower? And should you be ready for more downside? Absolutely. I mean, we've never reached a bear market bottom prior to a recession. It always happens during the recession, historically speaking. And so given the fact that pretty much all economists are aligned with some sort of recession this year, we already see signs that U.S. economy is slowing. We're down to a 1.5% GDP growth, and we're headed toward, I think, negative growth. And if we have two consecutive quarters while we're in a recession, probably going to be fairly mild, most folks would say. But I believe, at least historically speaking, we have a great chance to retest our October 22 lows at some point during the recession. Now, here's the other reality, though. The market will recover because it's forward-looking 6 to 12 months well before the end. So let's say it lasts, you know, three quarters. I think, you know, sometime late this year, early next year, this market's going to recover. There's trillions of dollars on the sideline ready to come rushing into this market. And even though we have some bigger challenges in this country economically further down the road, I think they are a good bit down the road. I think we'll see this market recover and move to new highs once we know that the Fed's done raising rates and we can see the light at the end of the tunnel on the recession. So for that reason, I would hate for you to lock in those losses right now, miss that recovery when it happens. And beyond that, real estate right now is still high because we do have a shortage of homes in this country. But given the recession and high interest rates, there's a good likelihood real estate prices are going to be dropping. So I think for all those reasons, I would encourage you to stay put. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Perfect.
All right. Thank you for calling. We appreciate you being on the program. Shirley, Amy, we're coming your way, plus your questions. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Abraham Hamilton III.
God put us in this world at this time to be salt and light. We don't fool because of the darkness that we're facing. This is not the first time in the world's history that it's gotten dark. God has called you and I to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment.
Tune in to the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth, your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Today on Faith and Finance, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word, the principles and passages to the decisions and choices you're making as a manager of God's money. We've got a few lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. Give us a call. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Shirley. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead. Hi, Shirley. Are you with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is about my sister listens to, I don't know what kind of news, but she's always talking about something about our fiat dollar is crashing and the rainbow that is gold back is coming back, and that we should have our money in our house because there will be runs on the bank. And she says this is already happening, but few people know about it. And she keeps saying the collapse is going to happen at any time.
I don't agree with that position, in the sense that, I don't think we should bury our heads in the sand. I mean, there's a few threads of reality there, in the sense that, yes, we just went through, a couple of regional bank failures that were brought on by this rapid rise of interest rates, alongside mismanagement of assets of a few banks that led to a few bank failures, and that caused runs on those particular banks. Now, we have seen more of a slow drawdown in some respects on some of the larger accounts that go above the FDIC insurance threshold of $250,000. But we did see the government step in, the Federal Reserve or FDIC stepped in the way that it should have with those bank failures, and said, listen, every deposit is protected, and we're going to give liquidity to all of these depositors to make sure they have access to their money. And that's their role to do that. Is there going to be some more systemic, broad-based kind of banking collapse or a run on the bank? No, I don't see that coming anytime soon. The U.S. dollar is under some pressure. It's fallen about 7% in the last 6 months. But keep in mind, the U.S. dollar is not going to be replaced anytime soon as the world's reserve currency. I mean, 60% of all global currency reserves are held globally in dollars today. The euro's in second place with only 20%, and close to 90% of all foreign exchange trades involve the dollar. So, you know, we've got some other kind of things coming up. You've got the BRICS option, you've got the euro, but there's just really nothing that would serve as a viable alternative to the U.S. dollar on the world stage. And there's nobody even close to being able to fill that role. Could that come down the road? Sure. And we need to keep watching that. We certainly need to make some changes with regard to how we handle our own monetary policy in the United States. We've caused others on the world stage to lose trust in the U.S. with regard to some of our own mismanagement, with regard to interest rates and our money supply and just the amount of debt that we've accumulated in this country. And so we've got to make some real changes in that regard. But I don't see anything on the horizon with regard to a collapse of the U.S. dollar, which if it did collapse, doesn't matter whether your money's in the bank or under the mattress at that point. I don't see anything with regard to you losing the world's reserve status. And there's no reason to believe there's any systemic problems. There were some real problems in the banking infrastructure in 2008, 2009. We don't have those today. And, you know, I don't see any reason why there would be a run on the banks. And given high inflation right now, Shirley, I think you pulling your money out, putting it under the mattress is just going to cause you to lose purchasing power every month because you're not taking advantage of any kind of interest or growth on that portfolio. Now, at the end of the day, you are the steward of what God has entrusted to you. And so you need to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And I think that includes seeking some wise counsel. And that's obviously what you're doing today. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't see any reason that we should pull our money out of the banks. And I don't think there's any kind of imminent collapse in even the near, you know, horizon. Does that make sense?
Rainbow currency replacing the fiat dollar.
Yeah, so there's a few things that kind of are underway that, you know, we'll have to watch and see. I mean, obviously the cryptos are you know, interesting just given the private nature of them. I mean, they're private one way in the sense that you can to conduct business you know, with complete anonymity, but you can also prove you own it. I think that crypto technology is here to stay. It's interesting to watch the government's response. Clearly, the Biden administration is trying to kind of unwind the crypto space. They feel threatened by it. But, you know, I think it's actually a good thing. There are some that are backed by gold, and that's an interesting approach. In fact, in Texas right now, this is really interesting to kind of watch this unfold. There's a proposal on the table right now for a gold-backed crypto that we'll have to watch that play out. States have the ability to create legal tender, they claim, based on the Constitution, so long as it's backed by gold or silver, which is just really fascinating. And so there's actually a move in the state of Texas right now to create a gold-backed cryptocurrency. So we'll have to watch that play out. But you know, I don't think there's anything you need to do currently in terms of moving your holdings away from the U.S. dollar, in my view.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for your call today, Shirley. God bless you. Let's head to Ohio. Hey, Greg, how can I help you, sir?
Well, I'll tell you what. What my problem is I bought some property a couple years ago, and I bought it through auction.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, I thought I shut my radio off.
Yeah, I hear a little bit of an echo, so yeah, try to turn that down. Go right ahead.
I got it off now.
That sounds better.
I thought I did. Anyways, what I was wondering is, what do I do about the title? Because I know I don't have title insurance on it. But right now, it is being held up for collateral on another place I'm buying. So would they have insurance on the title, or how would that go?
So is there's not a lender involved in this?
No, it's already paid off.
Okay. All right. Very good. Yeah, I would look into buying an owner's title policy. You can check to the county deeds office to see what they have on file. You can absolutely buy owner's title insurance. It doesn't have to be bought at the time of purchase. And that would give you some protection if any issues come up with the home's title. And I would just contact a title company, to inquire about making that purchase. They could handle that for you in your area.
Okay. Well, that sounds very good for me. I appreciate the information.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We're short on time. Mike, I'm going to ask you to hold right there. I want to give you plenty of time, and I've got a break here in just a moment, so we'll get to you just after the break. And we do have a few time for a few more questions as well. If you have a financial question today, we'd love to tackle it. 800-525-7000. A quick email from Frank. He writes, how much of a net worth is needed for a couple to be able to self-insure for long-term care insurance? You know, the average age for someone requiring long-term care is 85. The median cost for semi-private nursing home room is about $93,000 a year. So what we say is, if you've got less than $250,000, you don't need long-term care insurance. If you've got more than $2 million, you're self-insured. But somewhere in between $250,000 and $2 million, that's where you should look at it if it fits the budget. We'll be right back.
It's one of the most neglected disciplines in the life of a Christian. Yet prayer is also the most accessible. Well, Jesus shared a template to help us when we don't know what to say. I'm Charles Morris. Join me with Nancy Guthrie all week in a series called What We Need to Know About Prayer on Haven Today.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
What do normal human beings want for a six-year-old?
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
To be loved, to be protected, to be shielded from some of the ugliness in the world. But you got these nutcases who want to push on a six-year-old that you are inherently evil because of the color of your skin.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have three money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're going to take your calls and questions, continue to do that here in just a moment. But first, it's Friday, which means Jerry Boyer joins us. Jerry is our resident economist here. Jerry is also the president of Boyer Research and a columnist at World Opinions, among other places. Jerry, great to have you with us, my friend.
Great to be with you, as always.
Hey, Jerry, just had a call from somebody asking about gold-backed currencies. And, you know, I mentioned briefly about what's happening in the state of Texas. Really fascinating to watch that play out as legislation's now proposed creating a state-issued digital currency backed by gold. Give us a little bit of context on that and whether or not you feel like that's even constitutionally permissible.
Yes, it's explicitly permitted in the United States Constitution. There's a denial of power, which is a state cannot recognize as legal tender its own currency if it's not backed by gold or silver. But if it is backed by gold or silver, states can have legal tender, in which case it's not treated like a capital gains, you know, when you use it. You can settle contracts in it and you can buy and sell. There's an effort underway right now, a private entity creating a gold-backed crypto with a payment system, and working with the Texas legislature for that to be recognized as legal tender. That would be a game changer. And by the way, the founders wanted this. They wanted competing currencies. They never imagined a world where there's just something just like a U.S. dollar and there's nothing else. There have been competing currencies in the past in American history. There have been private currencies at some points that have sometimes been recognized by governments. So it's economically sound to have competition. So we understand, you know, we want competition. Should I go to this restaurant or that restaurant or buy this kind of car or buy that kind of car? But we can never imagine that there can be competition between currencies. But there can, and there should be, especially given the pretty tremendous mismanagement of the United States dollar.
Interesting. Yeah, well, we'll certainly keep an eye on that one. All right, Jerry, what are you looking at this week just economically?
I think the big item was that we had a slow growth first quarter. So GDP came in, and it wasn't negative. So it doesn't look like the beginning of a recession. Now, there is something we've talked about in the past called a growth recession, meaning you don't go negative, but you go close to zero. And markets react to that. And this is this odd world, you know, which is bad news is good news. So why is bad news good news? Because if the economy only grew at 1% for the first quarter of this year, that's getting awfully close to recessionary territory. And maybe the central bank will say, all right, you know, we wanted to fight inflation. We wanted to slow the economy down. That's how we fight inflation. I know that sounds crazy, but that's Keynesian theory. Wait a minute. We don't want to actually trigger a recession. We'll risk one, but, we don't want to actually trigger one. So the way markets reacted, the way futures markets reacted, was to say, oh, no hike. Fed's not going to hike again. The Fed's going to cut probably in September. And so then what happens when that gold goes up? Right, because the Fed's going to be easier, looser with money. So come on, Texas, let's get that non-inflationary currency going, please. The dollar fell against other currencies around the world, and markets went up not because the economy's doing well. Again, this is this bizarro world, but because the economy's doing poorly, markets went up. Because market participants concluded that the Fed is not going to be pulling money out of the system and pretty soon is going to reverse the pumps and start pumping money back into the system. Just kind of flooding money into the financial system is a way that stocks go up, not based on fundamentals, not based on a good economy, not based on good earnings, just pouring money into financial markets. The Fed is now, I think I mentioned to you recently, Brian Westbury, my friend, he added up the five largest sovereign wealth funds in the world.
Yeah.
All together, adding those up, that's less than half the size of the Fed. The
wow.
Fed is a gigantic investor. That was never supposed to be its job. It was supposed to be a lender of last resort for banks that are in trouble. It is now the world's largest investor. So if it's going to be buying, then markets say, all right, it's going to be buying. Prices are going to go up, and we're going to buy before it does.
Incredible power from the Federal Reserve. And as you said, it was never intended to have that much power. All right, Jerry, we've got just a minute or so left. Give us a quick update. I know you've been involved in a lot of shareholder engagement, shareholder meetings as of late. What are kind of the big themes that you're seeing?
Well, this week there were three proposals that came up at annual meetings, two at Coca-Cola and one at Pfizer that I attended where abortion was on the ballot. Now, there's a lot of issues on the ballot, but I think for our listeners, that's a pretty key issue, or at least I can say it is for me. They were all defeated. There was also a lot of anti-fossil fuel stuff. That's also pretty important. Probably not as important as human life, but it's important, because it would be bad for human life if we didn't have abundant energy. And they were all defeated. They were all opposed by the management of the companies. Coca-Cola, as far left as it's gone, and I think it has gone, still opposed these. So we're finding out that the activists keep pulling these companies and the companies keep giving into the activists. And now the companies are saying, wait a minute, how far are you going to pull us? And the answer is, as far as you'll go. Yeah. So they're starting to say, all right, then no. In the case of Coca-Cola, there was a very explicitly pro-abortion resolution there. Not only did it lose, but 87% of the votes were against it. So it only got 13% support. That's the lowest I've ever seen for one of these pro-abortion resolutions, and that was the lowest of any of the resolutions on the Coca-Cola ballot that day. So there's really been a reversal with this whole world of trying to politicize the financial markets and capital. There's really been a reversal where I think the other side just got arrogant and went too far, and that's caused a backlash. And I was hearing questions from people, maybe listeners to this show, just, you know, ordinary Americans from flyover country, like where I am in Pittsburgh, you know, called into Pfizer and said, stop selling abortifacients. You're supposed to be saving lives. So ordinary Christians are starting to call in and ask questions and to be a witness. And it's just a marvelous thing to see. There's a long way to go. The battle isn't won, but at least the battle's engaged, and some of the, you know, early results are very encouraging.
Bottom line is, as an owner of these companies, you have a voice to allow your values and convictions to be heard. And Jerry, I appreciate the work you're doing to represent believers and Christian values. Hope you have a great weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Same to you. God bless.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer, president of Boyer Research. You can find his columns at World Opinions. He's also active on social media. All right. Let's try to get to as many calls as we can before we round out the program. Mike, you've been very patient there in Texas. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, Rob?
Doing great.
Hey, question. What do you consider tithing and what do you consider not? I mean, like, I know you give, they say give to local churches is how it's written. And, you know, but like if you give, I have a friend that goes and does prosthetics for people in other countries, like they don't have any money, you know, and like if you give him money for that, is that considered tithing? Would you call that? Would you not? Would you?
Well, you know, I think we have to back up. It's a great question. I don't mean to minimize it at all, but I think we have to back up and say, okay, when we look at the Council of Scripture, Old and New Testament, should we be givers? And the answer is absolutely a resounding yes. I mean, generosity jumps off the page. For God so loved the world, he gave, right? So we are created in the image of the ultimate giver, and therefore we should be givers. We shouldn't be a reservoir where God's provision stops with us. We should be a pipeline so that it flows through us as a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And by the way, we get the joy and satisfaction of being able to participate in God's activity through our giving. Now, the tithe was an Old Testament concept. There was actually three tithes. There was one for the Levites, one for the temple, one for the poor. The one for the poor occurred every 3 years, so it was actually 23 1/3%. But the word tithe means a tenth, and the idea was that it was first fruits off of your increase you were giving, and it was to support the work of the local church, the Levites in the Old Testament, and the application of that today would be our local church. So I love starting with the principle of the tithe, that we're going to give a tenth off of our increase as a way to say, God, this provision came from you. I want to worship you and acknowledge you. Everything I have is yours, but I'm going to take a tenth right off the top before anything, the gross amount, and I'm going to give it back to support what I think is most equivalent to the Old Testament principle of the tithe. It wasn't a principle then, it was the law, and that is to the work of the local church. That is God's plan A. Now, should we be giving to other ministries, to other people on our path, to people in need? Yes, I would say if we're going to apply the principle of the tithe, that kind of giving comes after the tithe. So we give sacrificially beyond that. My friend Randy Alcorn, the author, says that the tithe is the training wheels of giving. So we should start there, supporting the work of our local church. But then beyond that, we give to be connected to where God is at work. Does that make sense?
It does. I give to American Family Radio because
that's great.
Where I mostly get my church services, and I call that tithe, and I hope I'm not wrong for that, but I do.
Yeah. Well, I think at the end of the day, that's between you and the Lord. We would encourage you to give to your local church first, and I think you do need to be planted in a local fellowship where you could be fellowshipping with the body of Christ, and there's that edification and growth, and you can serve there, and God's people are around you, and there's absolutely a place for American Family Radio to come alongside the local church and continue to build you up, grow you up in your faith, equip you to be mature as a believer, and to operate with a biblical worldview. and we appreciate all your support here. But we would say start with support to where God has placed you in the midst of a local church. Hope that helps you, Mike. At the end of the day, this is between you and the Lord, so I'd ask him what he would have you to do. Thanks for calling. Hey, Brandy, I'm so sorry we didn't get to you, but if you'd like to stay on the line, our team will get your number. We'll see if we can get you back on the program next week. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. It is my absolute privilege to come alongside you every day to bring you a hopeful and encouraging message of God's perspective of managing his money. I couldn't do this without my team, Jim Henry, Pat Montague, and Devin Patrick. On behalf of them and everybody at American Family Radio, have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.